Turn back to Psalm 119, verse 113. I wrote an outline on this Psalm, 113 through 120, but I got carried away on verse 113. And so that's all we're going to look at tonight, is verse 113. I thought it'd be better to try and keep it short than the... Sometimes I try to say too much, and I know that. I try to cover too much. So tonight, I'm going to try to just take one verse 113. It may take me 15 minutes. It may take me 45. I never know. The title of the message, I hate vain thoughts, but I love God's word. I hate vain thoughts. There was a time I didn't know what a vain thought was. I thought all my thoughts were good. And then I learned when the Lord saved me, I hadn't had a good thought in my life. Not one good thought. Not without sin. But he starts out here and he says, I hate. That sounds strong, doesn't it? That's strong. I hate and I love are two of the strongest emotions, I guess you could say, we have. When you love something intently, he says love stronger than death. But when you hate something intently, it's two of the strongest. But you know, there's a proper hate and there's a proper love. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:8, there's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. And in their proper place, they balance out the believer. They do. They balance out the believer. We can't be all negative, no positive, and we cannot be all positive and no negative. There's a healthy hate and a healthy love. There is. And they are in the spiritual realm. They're not in the natural realm. One of the things that we never hear in any modern day preaching is how God hates. God hates sin. He hates it. I'm going to read some scriptures on this in a minute. But God hates sin as well as he loves those whom he loves. It says in Psalm 5:5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's so. It doesn't say thou hatest iniquity, though he does. It says God hates the workers of iniquity. He hates them. And he starts out in this verse here. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. It's written in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, thoughts, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And I thought as I read this today, all of these start with a vain thought. You know what a proud look comes from? You know where a proud look comes from? Thinking you're somebody. A proud look, proud ancestry. We be Abraham's seed. That's a proud look. We be not sinners. We are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. That's a vain thought. That's a vain thought. In Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord, and this is to God's people, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to hate pride. It's to hate arrogancy. It's to hate the evil way, the false way, the false gospel. It's to hate it. I hate a false gospel. We cannot be indifferent to a false gospel. We cannot be lukewarm. That's why the gospel's so offensive. It's so dogmatic. You know, we can't be indifferent to it. I hate it. And the froward mouth, he says, do I hate? Now, in this first verse, I can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking. Now, we know this. We know he never had a vain thought. Jesus Christ never had a vain thought. Hard to imagine, because that's all we've ever had. We see ourselves as this or that, or we always have, we're just full of vain thoughts. But he never had a vain thought. But yet he could say, I hate vain thoughts. I hate them. Because he knew the thoughts of all men, that they were vain, empty, futile, worthless. He knew their thoughts. And it was and he knew the source of those thoughts. Look over here in Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 14, look in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Isaiah 14, 12. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, you thought in your heart, this is a thought going on in his heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. I will be, and what he said, I will be the Most High. I will be God. There is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be like God in holiness. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be like God in love, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. But to be God is a problem. That's a deal-breaker. To be the sovereign, to be the one that calls the shots, so to speak. I told a man one time that there was a man I had been in business with. He was questioning some things when he was going talking back and forth. And I said, I'll tell you what, when you pay the bills, you can call the shots. You pay the bills, you call the shots. This is God's world. When you and I create one, we can call the shots, but this is his. But Satan thought in his heart, I'm going to be God. I'm going to be God. That's what he's saying. I'll be God. It was a vain thought to turn on God. God made him this glorious angel, and yet he envied the position that God held and not the place where God put him in the position. And he had a high position. It was a vain thought in the Garden of Eden when Adam thought to be like God. That's what Satan said. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. To know good and evil. We know what the evil is. That's what we don't know what the good is. You have to lie on that one. You know good and evil. No, we know what the evil is. The good is God. And we lost that. We lost the knowledge of God. We lost the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we lost. Another meaning for this is this. It also means this. I hate, and most of the translations have this translation, I hate double-minded men. It means double-minded. David is saying, I hate double-minded men. And what he's making reference to here, you know, James said this, a double-minded man shall receive nothing from the Lord. A fence straddler. Or to put it like this, in 1 Kings 18, Elijah said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. If God be God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But quit straddling the fence. That's double-minded. You see, a double-minded person is a person who's unsettled. He's unstable as water. And it's a person who's trying to live for the world, in the world, and have the things of the world, and then also hang on to God. Because he don't want to go to hell. Somebody, some joker along the way told him to accept Jesus as his personal Savior. And, you know, you don't go to hell. And then, of course, he's going to do that. Anybody's got enough sense stepping out of the rain will do that. But it's vain, and it's a double-minded. It's a double-minded person. Now, when we love something, when we love someone, we love them. We love them. We also, at the same time, hate the opposite of it. We hate the opposite of it. Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You see, that's the opposite. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. It's against the Lord. It's everything the Lord is not. Listen here in Hebrews 1:9. Speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. You see, if you love righteousness, you have to hate iniquity. You have to. You can't love both. They're two opposite. Psalm 139, here's a strong one. Here's a real strong one. In verse 21, 22, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Let me see if I can remember. I didn't write it down. Spurgeon said that I may love those. I am to love those who oppose me. I hate those who oppose God. I thought that's a powerful statement. That's as powerful as that. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them. Listen, with perfect hatred. You see, the hatred that's of this flesh is not a perfect hatred. It's a get even. It's evil. It's evil. But here, I can hear my Lord saying that he hates those with a perfect hatred. God, listen, God's hatred, and I thought a lot about this before I write these things down. I mean, I give thought to them. But God's hatred is as perfect as his love. There's no sin in it. There's no sin in God's hatred. Listen, God's hatred of Esau is as perfect as his love for Jacob. God had every right to hate Esau as he did to love Jacob. Esau hated God. He didn't love God. And there's a time Jacob didn't either, but God loved Jacob. There's a time you and I did not love him, but the Lord has brought us to himself and caused us to love him. He caused us to love him. You know, that's usually how it is in a this is usually how it is in a relationship. When two people come together, usually one falls in love with one before the other one really falls in love. It rarely happens that they both happen at the same time. When one falls in love, and then they just and it draws the other one in. Our Lord loved us, and He drew us in. He said, "I drew you with cords of love," didn't He? Isn't that what He said? And this, listen, this is why we cannot love the world and God also. They are opposites. They are opposites. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't be enamored and taken up and fall in love. Because if you fall in love with the world, if I fall in love with the world, I'm not in love with Christ. That was a charge against the church at Ephesus. You left your first love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They can't dwell in the same house. One's got to go. It's not in him. Listen, light and darkness cannot dwell together. It's impossible. It's impossible to have complete darkness here and light at the same time. It's an impossibility. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. You are children of light. You're children of light. You can't live with darkness. You can't be yoked up with darkness. You can't do it. You can't do it. And he says here, I hate vain thoughts. And believers, as this applies to believers, believers hate vain thoughts in themselves. There was a time I didn't. There's a time I never hated a thought I ever had. It didn't bother me. I mean, I can think of anything that didn't bother me. There are things now I just like, no. No, we're not thinking. You're not thinking that. You're not going to dwell on that. You're not going to chew on that. You're not going to feed on that. Because vain thoughts are against God, and they lead to sin if left unchecked. They do. All sin starts with a thought. All sin starts with a thought. Adam sinned in thought first. When he thought of eating that fruit, when he thought of what might happen if he eats this fruit, he already failed. You see, our Lord never even thought of when temptation in the wilderness. The three things that Satan tempted him with, Christ never even thought. He never went, you know, you give something a thought. He never gave it a thought. Adam did. And when he gave it a thought, you know what Scripture says? The thought of foolishness is sin. There was no more foolish thought than to rebel against God. No more foolish thought than that. I like what someone said. We are to hate sin in its embryo. That's the thought. That's the embryo. We are to hate it when it comes in. We are to do it. If we do not hate the thought of sin, we will soon love the action of it. Now, what are vain thoughts? Where they are secret sins. I can't see your thoughts. You can't see mine. You can't read my mind. It's blank. You can't read it. But God can. God can. I took the concordance today and looked up a lot of these things on thoughts. It's amazing. It's amazing. God knows the thoughts of the heart. He knows the thoughts. He knows, David said, he knows my thoughts afar off before I even think them. He already knows them. You see, they are secret sins, sins of the heart. Heart sins are the worst sins. They are the root sins. You see, the root of all sin is in the heart. And it starts in a thought. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, what's the vainest thought one can think? What's the vainest thought you and I can ever have? It's written in the Word of God. Look over in Psalm 50. Here's the vainest thought anyone, any of us can ever have. And at one time, we all had this thought. Every one of us. Verse 21, Psalm 50. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. To think of God on the same level as I think of myself. That's to put me on the level of being God. You thought in your mind, in your heart, in your imagination, you thought that I am just like you, which puts you on the same level with me. In other words, that's really thinking I'm God. The fool has said in his heart, know God. But the translation of that is, the fool has said in his heart, know God for me. Know God for me. I don't need one. I'll be God. I'll be the master of my fate. That's human nature. That's the way men and women think. I'll be the boss. I'll be the boss. Thinking too highly of oneself is a vain thought. Thinking too lowly of God is a vain thought. It's a vain thought. And man's thoughts, and at one time our thoughts, and still too many of our thoughts, are continually vain. Continually vain. Here's what makes the gospel so offensive. Here's what makes it so offensive. Take everyone in the world. You know, when you get into the political arena, everybody's throwing out their thoughts, their opinions, and this is the way it ought to be. Another one said, this is the way it ought to be. The Lord, in Psalm 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Vanity. His thoughts of God are vanity. God's not like he thinks he is. His thoughts of Jesus Christ, vanity. I listened to a man today, which is one of the most brilliant-minded men I've ever listened to. But he's a Jew. He's a devout Jew. And I listened to him talking to another man today, and this man, the other man's a, you know, he was a doctor of divinity, so-called. And this young man said, the Jew, he said, Jesus Christ was not a prophet. Not a good man, not a teacher. He said he rose up, he was a man against the Roman army and got killed for it and put to death for it. He's serious. And this man, I've listened to him different times in debates. Brilliant. Brilliant. But ignorant as can be. Ignorant as can be when it comes to God. And it comes to the scripture. And he knows this Old Testament. He knows the Old Testament. And yet, blind as can be. I thought of that scripture. When I listened to that, I thought of that scripture. Seeing, they see not. And there in John, was it John 8? I think it was John 8. He said, if you were blind, then you'd have no sin. If you were said you couldn't see. But now you say you see. He said, you're blind. Now, not only are you spiritually blind, you are judicially blind. And I could see that today. I could see that scripture just as clear as could be fulfilled in that man, that Jew, devout Jew, blind as a bat. Intellectually, I mean, just as far as secular and other things go, brilliant. You couldn't stand, he takes everybody down I've ever seen him go up against, except God. And that's sad. That's sad. Listen to Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that has not changed. I can say about every unbeliever, everyone who does not believe on Christ, does not confess Christ, the imagination of their heart is evil continually. That's what God says. That's how, see, God opens the heart up and he's letting us see it. He's basically doing heart surgery in that verse and just opens it up and says, here's what the heart looks like. This is the human heart. I know we've heard people say, boy, they have such a good heart. God said no. God said no. He said the imagination of the thoughts. You see, we can't get in. We ought to, because we have the same imaginations. We've had them, and we still have them from time to time. But now we fight them. Now we do fight him. But vain thoughts, back to what vain thoughts are. It's a too high thought of yourself, low thought of God. But it's also to think of sin too flippantly. That's a vain thought. My sins are the reason Jesus Christ died. It troubles me when someone is speaking about how they were such a rebel with a gleam in their eye. Christ died for my sins. We can't even comprehend the evil of our sins that he died for. He was executed for our sins. He was put to death on the cross for our sins. He was tormented by God and men for our sins. God allowed men to whip him and just lacerate him to where you couldn't even recognize him. And then God took over. Turned the light out for 3 hours and went at him. The least sin ought to make us shudder. The least sinful thought that goes through our minds ought to make us shudder. Look what it did to my Lord. Look what he had to do to put that thought away. To put that thought away. Look what he had to do. And here's another vain thought. And I thought about this for a little bit, but when we think negatively of our brothers and sisters, that's a vain thought. That's an empty, useless, evil, wicked thought is what that is. Zechariah 8:17. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Don't imagine evil in your heart against a brother or sister. Think the best of one another. The Lord said, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things are things that I hate. I hate. Someone said, you know, God hates, he hates sin, but he loves a sinner. It wouldn't be no sin if it wasn't for the sinner. You tell me how in the world God can hate sin and love a sinner. This statement here, I've thought about it all day. Thought about it. There's no one in hell for whom Jesus Christ loved. Everyone there God hates. That's true. He hateth the workers of iniquity. This is what makes the gospel unpopular. You know why? It's the truth. is the truth. You're not going to tell me that God loves this sinner so much and then lets him perish. I'm telling you, we gotta tell the truth. Now, what are we to think? Well, it says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I thought of this. A thought takes no effort. It just comes into your mind, doesn't it? You'd be sitting around, just one thought after another just pops in like birds. A thought takes no effort, but to think takes effort. To really think on these things, to meditate on these things, takes effort. Because you and I have a nature in us that is opposed to thinking on these things. And it takes effort to do it. It takes effort, it takes grace, it takes the power of God's Spirit. Now here's why Christ and his people hate vain thoughts. I don't really want to go through this quickly, but thy law do I love. Thy law do I love. Let me give you a few things, and I'll pick back up here next week, Lord willing. The word law here means Torah. It's mentioned 25 times in this one psalm, Psalm 119. Its parent verb means to teach or direct, which means coming from God, it is both law and revelation. I hate vain thoughts, but I love thy law, thy word. That's what it's speaking of here, thy word. Christ loved God's law perfectly. He loved God's law, and that's our righteousness. He loved it and he kept it, and that's our righteousness. And believers love God's law. God's law is good. I love God's law. There's nothing wrong with God's law. It's what Paul said. The law is good. If a man use it lawfully, if you don't use it to try to get acceptance before God, if you do, you're using it unlawfully. But we love God's law, God's word. We love the whole word of God. Did that kind of make you cringe when I said God hates those in hell? You know, God hates the workers of iniquity. I love God's word. Whatever he says in, I love it. It's right. It's true. I may not understand. I don't understand a lot of it, but it's right because I know who God is. And then, listen, it is this love for God's law, his word, that causes such hatred of vain thoughts. Listen to Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You see, through thy word I get understanding. And because of this understanding, spiritual understanding, I hate every false way. I hate every false gospel. I hate every lie. I hate it. I hate it. I love God's law, though. And the more we grow in love to God, in love to his word, the more aware of our vain thoughts we are. And we pray. We pray that our thoughts be brought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations, your thoughts, casting them down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, guide my thoughts, control my thoughts. I seriously pray that. I do. Help me to think right today. Help me to have right thoughts of you today. Help me to have thoughts of you and right thoughts of you today. I pray that way. I pray for it. Because I know that the thoughts that come into your mind are like, it's like the birds that came down on the sacrifice that Abraham was going to offer. He had to shoo them away. That's the way thoughts are. You got to just shoo them away. And then we love God's law because it reveals God as He is. You realize how ignorant we'd be of God apart from His Word? You see, we've been taught. But you know, there's 4,000 years of Gentiles, our ancestry was left without the Word. And they had gods, they made altars to unknown gods, and I mean, they worshiped four-footed beasts, creeping things, they worshiped anything and everything in case it might be a god. And yet now we have the precious, precious Word of God, and we know who God is. God has made Himself known in this book. And He's made Himself known to some of us. We see Him. We know Him. We talk to Him. We walk with Him. We worship Him. We sing praises unto Him. In His Word, we know who Jesus Christ is. Like that man I listened to, he said he was just a heretic. He's just someone that was against the Roman government and was put to death for it. And he was glad that he was. But we know who He is. He's God. This is our God. We know what He did. He redeemed us from our sins. God has purchased us with His own blood. We know that. And it reveals us as we are. I thank God I know. I thank God that I know, and some of you know, what a wretch we are. Now, psychiatry would say, there's medication for that. That's what they tell you. I can give you a prescription for that. I don't want a prescription for that. That's the truth. Don't give me a prescription to numb the truth. Don't give me a prescription to numb my conscience. Just give me the truth. God does not save by a lie. Give me the truth. And it reveals how God Almighty can save a wretch like me and you, and be just in doing so. And then last of all, God's law, His Word, is truth. It's truth. It's truth. This is the truth. You know, this is the truth. You're not going to get it anywhere else. You can go anywhere else, go to library, you know, go to Library of Congress, you know, go to all those, go to the biggest library in the world. The only truth is right here. And we have it. I have it. I'm holding the truth. You got it in your lap. That's the truth. Oh, he says, I hate vain thought, but I love God's Word. I thought about this before him coming out here. We don't love God. We do not love God any more than we love His Word. To say I love God, oh, how I love God, and never get into His Word, not open this book, just toss it on the table. No, it don't work like that. I hate vain thoughts, but I love Thy Word. I love it. All right, we'll pick up, Lord willing, from there next time.